Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Now, we read before the prayer in Luke 11, verse number 1. I'll reread it again. And it came to pass that as he was praying, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, read it with me, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So John was the forerunner of Jesus. He came in the spirit of Elijah to introduce Jesus. And so John's ministry began before Jesus's ministry began. And John had disciples just as Jesus had disciples. He was the forerunner. He came first. And so we're seeing a pattern that with John the Baptist, there was prayer, and he taught his disciples how to pray. The disciples of Jesus recognized that. They heard Jesus praying one day, and one said, okay, Lord, we've just heard you pray. Now teach us how to pray. And they put a little pressure on him when they said, look, John taught his disciples. Now we want to be taught to pray. So we're seeing a pattern in the word of disciples being taught how to pray. Now he's going to go into the prayer that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. It is a model prayer. It is an instruction in prayer. Lord willing, in this series, we'll break this prayer down beginning in verse number 2. But I want to do this. I want to come back to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew chapter 6, because he's going to teach that same prayer that comes up in Luke 11. He's going to teach that exact same prayer in Matthew chapter number 6. And so when you get over there, just say amen, Matthew 6, and we're going to start looking at it in verse number 5. Now, I do want us to cover the prayer that Jesus gave as a model prayer. And I'm going to show you that that model prayer that Jesus gave is really a type of outline in prayer. And what Lord willing will do in this series is get you to a place where you can take the prayer that Jesus gave us and let it become an outline or a model of how you pray, but not necessarily in verbatim. I'm going to show you that each one of those lines becomes a point that you can add, you know, and add to and expound on just the statement, our Father who art in heaven. You know, hallowed be thy name. You can go a minute just on that right there. And I'm going to show you how to take that prayer that Jesus taught. And you can pray it in verbatim, hallelujah. But I'm going to show you how to use it as a model to prayer. But equally important in the Word is what this series is about, is to show you how to incorporate the Word of God into your prayer. And hopefully we're going to change some things about our prayer life. And one of the things the Holy Spirit has really put on my heart is for us to go from praying about something to praying for something, or praying about someone and actually praying for someone. And I want to show you scripturally how you can use the Word of God to pray for your marriage, to pray for your children, to pray for your friends, to pray for the sick, so that there are literal prayers of faith, and we go from praying about something to praying actually for something. Because I think we're guilty of bringing something up in prayer and then saying, I prayed about it. And Lord, you know I need this new job. And so, amen and thank you for that. And Lord, you know my wife been acting crazy lately, and I just ask that you do something in her, Lord. And Lord, you know mama ain't been feeling good, and if you could just touch her. And Lord, thank you for this food, amen. See, that might have been your prayer life. We're gonna tweak that. All the wives are like, yes, Lord, I love this series already, please. I'm being real. We need to learn how to pray, because there's a lot that can happen when we pray, and I want to show you the effect of righteous prayer, the effect of word-based prayer, because when we understand the power of our words and what literally happens when we begin to speak the Word of God in prayer, what happens in our lives, what happens in our minds, what happens in our spirit, what happens in the spirit realm when we begin to declare the Word. I mean, we need to be able to pray prayers that intimidate the enemy. We need to be able to pray prayers that summon angels. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to show you this, that I'm not just making stuff up. I'm going to show you in the Word that, that prayers that are prayed effectively get heaven's attention, and angels move on prayers that are prayed in faith. Hallelujah. And that your faith can literally be increased when you pray right. Hallelujah. So Jesus was asked, hey, how to pray? How do we pray? How do we pray? Jesus gave them an instruction in prayer. Now, watch this in Matthew chapter 6, because I'm going to show you that not only did Jesus give us the right way to pray, he even addressed the wrong way to pray. Watch this in verse number 5 of Matthew 6. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And when thou prayest, so he's talking about prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So Jesus said, don't pray like a hypocrite. Hypocrite means you're hypercritical. You're hypercritical. You ever met somebody that's hypercritical? Just criticize anything, everything. Just critical of the whole world. There's nothing pleases them. Go to church, the only thing they leave there is criticism. All right, y'all quiet. Okay. For they love to stand, pray, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's not a good reward. The reward is whatever they got out of that exposure. It's just like if you back up to verse 3, he talks about when you give. When you give, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. So when you give, that needs to be between you and God. You don't need to make your giving public. That's why I have never and will never call for a line or ask who can give $1,000, who can write a check right now for $500. Because if you stood up and said, that's me, the only reward you're going to get in that offering is the exposure you just got when you got in the line or you raised your hand. It's unscriptural to ask people to stand up if they can give a certain amount of money. That is not biblical. Please, somebody say amen. That way it will register in your heart. And if you ever set up under a church that's asking you to stand up, you can give $500, you say, wait, that's not scriptural, and you won't get involved in that kind of stuff. It's not biblical. I'm not saying the guy that did it, you know, because he's a shyster. Maybe he just doesn't know the word. But I can't be given and just to be seen of men, because that exposure is the reward. And Jesus is saying here that if you're praying just to be seen, if you're praying just to be heard, your answer to that prayer is the exposure or whatever you feel you gained by that public exposure, but there's no reward in praying like that. So we're not praying just to be seen. We're not praying just to be heard. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that is the wrong motive in prayer. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So notice that I'm praying to my Father. We know that our God is one in three persons. That's established from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. God the Father, God the Son, or the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. But my prayers go to the Father. They honor God the Father. I pray to the Father. I'm going to show you that biblically I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but I pray, my prayers are offered to the Father, God my Father. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as heathen do. God's not hard of hearing, and your prayer is not more effective if it's louder. Spiritual folk have a hard time with the theatrics of prayer. It's like if we get louder, God, who's upstairs and he's of age now, he might be able to hear me more. Listen, God not only hears your words, he hears your heart. And so we don't have to get loud for God to hear us. Somebody say amen now. I know this is going to mess with some of the stuff that we've grown accustomed to. I didn't say you couldn't holler when you pray. Did I say that? No, I'm just saying that you ain't got to holler for God to hear you. And you don't have to put on your religious speech. You don't have to talk one way and then pray another. Man, did you see that game the other day? My goodness, that was pitiful. Why don't they run the ball more? I don't understand what's going on. Oh, it's time for prayer. Dear God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, that game, man, I don't know what to tell you. See, we don't need to put on a tone for God. We don't need to put on a front for God. We don't have to change the way we speak because we're talking to God. Not when God sees everything in our life. It's not like he's only paying attention when we're praying. And somebody one time back in the day when the ministry was small, they came to me one day and they said, I need to ask you about the way you've been praying. I said, okay. They said, well, I noticed that there are times when you pray that you open your eyes. I said, wait a minute. Could you say that again? They said, well, I've just noticed that when you pray, you open your eyes. I said, how would you know that if your eyes were not open? Are you really about to criticize me for praying with my eyes open when yours was open looking at me? Well, and then he went to something else. He said, well, you move around and walk around when you pray. The position of my body has no bearing on the words of my mouth. The position of my eyes has no bearing on the word. I can pray eyes wide open. It's not open or closed eyes that makes a difference in prayer. We've got to get in the Word and realize how we can pray. Now do we close our eyes? Yeah, because we want to get intimate with the Father. We don't want to be distracted. If you want to kneel and pray, that's a position of humility, but that doesn't mean you can't stand and pray. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when you stand praying, believe that you receive. Jesus taught that in Mark 11. We're getting too caught up with some things that really don't have any bearing on prayer itself, and we're missing the actual content of prayer. So Jesus said, when you pray, pray in secret, and the Father will reward you openly. That doesn't mean that we don't have open prayer, because we do have open prayer. Jesus had open prayer when the disciples heard him pray in Luke 11 and came to him and said, hey, teach us how to pray. It just means my motive for prayer cannot be the public exposure. Doesn't mean I don't pray in public, just means that's not my motive. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think, read this with me, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Have we been guilty of that? Like maybe you go into a challenge that, you know, I challenge myself that I'm going to pray for a whole hour today. Great. But you don't need to tell God something 15 times so you can have your hour and then go be able to say, I prayed for a whole hour. Yeah, but the actual content of your prayer came down to about 15 minutes. The rest of it was just you saying what you already had said, just for the sake of you being able to say, yes, I pray for an hour a day. See, it's all about motive. Jesus is saying, you're not going to be heard because you said a whole lot. Amen. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So God already knows my need. He already knows my heart. He already knows my life's condition even before I come to him. But yet he has called me and you to come before him and pray. He's called us to come before him and to let our request be made known unto him. That instruction he's given us. So it's not about the theatrics of our prayer. It's not about the length of our prayer. It's not necessarily about the posture we're in when we pray. And there's powerful positions of prayer on your face, laying prostrate before God, on your knees before God. You know, when the Holy Spirit moves you, you respond to the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to communicate to you that you can pray driving down the road. You can pray standing in your kitchen. You can pray laying in your bed. You can pray standing in the church service during a worship. You can pray come to this altar and on your knees. The same Father hears the same words. It's not really the posture of my body. It is the posture of my heart that makes the difference when we pray. Can you say amen to that right there? Hallelujah. Now, come back with me to Psalms. Leave you a bookmark here in case we get a chance to come back here. Come back with me to Psalms, and I want to go to 119. Psalms 119. If I could challenge you as a believer to spend time in the Word of God, there's at least two things I would have you read regularly in the Word of God. I'd have you read the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and I'd have you read Psalm 119. These are great reminders for believers. Just if you just, you know, systematically took time, you know, annually or every 3 months, just to go back and visit Psalm 119 to revisit the Sermon on the Mount. Now, watch this in Psalms 119. When you get there, just say amen. Now, the whole psalm, this is the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God. Now, watch what God says here. And I want to just go to verse number 13. And the whole thing's just powerful. I mean, every time I read from Psalm 119, I want to go back to verse 1. But watch verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Let's read that out loud together. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So I'm declaring the word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, you know how excited you get when you get a bonus? You know how excited you get about a pay raise? You know how excited you get about money that came in the mailbox that you wasn't even expecting? Come on, somebody. Well, God says, just as you get excited about riches, there ought to be a rejoicing and an excitement about his testimonies. Now, he says in verse 13 and 14, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And that's something I want to spend some time on in this series, is you and I declaring his word, speaking his word over our lives. And listen, my objective in this series is not only to show you how to declare the word of God over your circumstances and situations, but I'm actually going to give you verses to pray over certain areas of your life. I'm going to give you scriptures to pray over your mind, over your marriage, over your children, over your body, over your health, over your finances. I'm going to give you the verses and then show you how to take those verses and incorporate them into prayer. And I want to show you first, though, before we do that, show you why that's important. So notice here in verse 13, he says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. How often are you declaring the word of God? How often are you getting into that word and reading that word and it blessing your heart, but not only allowing faith to come by hearing when you hear it preached or when you read it, but to take that word and to declare it over your life, to declare it over your circumstance, to declare it over your situation. When you get that report or that call from the school over your child misbehaving, you respond and say, wait a minute, I know what's going on, but I know what God has said. And Isaiah 54:13 says, my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. So, Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just declare that great is the peace of James, Jaron, Lana, and Mila in Jesus' name. See, if I pray like that, I'm taking the word of God, and then I'm placing my children into that scripture, and I am praying that word over them. When you begin to master the art of taking his word and then injecting your marriage in his word, injecting your financial situation into his word, injecting names in that word, then all of a sudden your prayer life changes, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and not just the hearing the word preach, but hearing the word pray. As you pray the word of God, you are hearing the word of God as it relates to whoever it is you're praying for. See, when the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, you got to put the sick's name in there. That's my brother Lewis Griffin right there. If my brother, who's been a member of this church since 1996, if he says, hey, Pastor, pray for me, I'm sick, I can pray. I say, Lord, you said the prayer of faith would save Lewis Griffin. And I just declare right now, by the stripes of Jesus, that Lewis Griffin is healed, and that you satisfy Lewis Griffin with long life, and you show him your salvation. See, right there, I've just used James 5, I've just used Isaiah 53, and I've just used Psalm 91. I've just used three different verses with his name injected in that verse. Look at your neighbor and say, pray the word. And when you learn the word of God and you begin to write your prayers down in a prayer journal, whatever it takes, and you get disciplined to pray the word, it's liberating. Because I think there's a pressure that comes on people, specifically when they have to pray publicly, where they get a little afraid because, oh man, I don't want to pray. These folk, I mean, listen to me pray. I mean, I don't want to pray. Listen, you learn to pray the word, you're not intimidated to be called on in prayer. You just declare what he said. I'm just taking what God said, and I'm returning it to him in prayer. Now, watch this in verse 16, same chapter there, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Read that letter, read that whole thing out loud together, ready? I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. See, I'm being mindful of what he said. That's why I'm taking notes on Sunday. I'm getting this stuff down. That's why, you know, as I study the word through the week, I get me either a note app on your smart device, or where your device won't be ignorant, or you get you a notepad. And you, man, you're writing these things down. You won't forget his word. You're meditating on his word day and night. Why would we take notes? Why would we remember the word? Why would we use the word everywhere but prayer, when prayer might be the most important place we use the word? And I'm going to show you why it's so important in this series. Why is it so important to pray the word? Now, watch this in verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, or out of thy word. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see wondrous things out of your word. Hallelujah. Now, come over with me to Isaiah, and I want to go to the 34th chapter. Isaiah, chapter number 34. Man, I'm so excited about this. Isaiah 34. Look at your neighbor again and say, pray the word. Pray the word. Well, I just like talking to the Lord. And you're supposed to talk to the Lord. That's a type of prayer. I'm showing you how to pray prayers of faith. Pray the word. There needs to be some word injected in your prayer. My kids will come to me, any parent knows this, with requests all the time. You never know what your kids are going to ask for. Am I right about it, parents? See, it's one thing to make a request to your parent, to your father. But it's another thing when your parent has spoken something. And then you come back and say, Daddy, you said. Now, see, that should have moved you. I don't know what y'all need from me. That should have moved somebody right there. Is there not a difference between me just going to my parent and saying, hey, can I have a Mac Daddy? Or, Daddy, you said you were going to give me a MacBook. See, if you ever go back and say, Daddy, you said, now you got his back against the wall. Because if he's a man of integrity, he's got to do what he said. Listen, it's so important that we take God at his word. Now, it's not just a matter that we can leverage God to get something. That's not what this is about. If you think that, you're missing what I'm saying. It's the reality that I have spent time with you, God, in your word, and I know what you have said to me, and I know your promises to me, and you have said that when I come to you, I must know, number one, that you are God, and number two, you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So I'm coming to you, God, because I know you reward my faith. You can't come to him with his word if you have not been in his word. And when you take to God what you've heard in his word, now you have dialogue. Because you have heard from him, and now he is hearing from you. Now watch this Isaiah 34, verse 16, because this is a challenge from the Lord. This is a challenge from the Lord to you and I. Isaiah 34, verse 16, if you're there, say amen. Look at the challenge that he gives us. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He's saying, get in my word and read what I have said. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Get in my word. Find what my word has to say. Get in my word. Read my word. Seek. Go searching. Get in my word. Now watch what he says here. None of these shall fail. Please read that out loud. No one of these shall fail. He said, get in my book, find what I have said. Not one thing I have said will ever fail. So you need to find what I have said, because what I have said will not fail. Why do I need to make up my own words when he's already given me words that work?
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.